listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, November 1st. We've made it, everyone. It's a new month. I love new months. I love new weeks. I love new
days. We're marching towards turkey.
Turkey. Yeah, my favorite meal of the year, bare none. I love that turkey. I love the mashed potatoes.
And don't forget, it's Gobbletov.
Yeah, Gobbletov, yeah. You'll have to go back to our archive programs page to learn all about that. Stu gave me a lot of grief. He was using all those words and terminologies that we discussed, and he said, actually, I did some more research and something about the 78,000 years past or something. It was kind of funny, but yeah, Thanksgiving is not too far
away. Stu, you have way too much time on your hands.
Yeah. And actually, Stu, sometimes his birthday falls on Thanksgiving.
Well, that's because he's a turkey.
Yeah. Stu,
that guarantees you an email now.
Yeah, Stu, don't stop sending in that support. But yeah, his birthday is the 23rd, but sometimes it'll fall right on Thanksgiving. Not too often, but...
That, you know what? I don't think that there's far better things than cake to have on your birthday. But if you could have stuffing and turkey and all that on your birthday, too... That's cute.
Oh, I'm all for it.
That'd
be great. All the different kinds of mashed potatoes, because a lot of people, this is when they'll put in that sour cream. I just can't wait.
Stuffing. I love stuffing, and nobody makes it any other time of the year than this. So,
yeah, it's a good time. And it's also a good time because we launch into the Book of Acts. It's Friday, and I think this is 20 or 21 in the edition. If you go back to our archive programs page, you'll see, I think, 20 other, at least 19 other Fridays that we've devoted, at least a portion of
the
program.
We're only in Chapter 3.
Yeah, we are officially in Chapter 3. We've been studying this Book of Acts together. And so if you're joining us for the first time, this edition, this programming segment, these following 23 minutes is called Mark and Friends, and oftentimes... For the past 2 years, on Wednesday, Pastor Jason Schiffo has joined me, and we've had different topics, various interviews, and different themes that we've talked about. On Friday, we've gone through, I think, the last year, a couple books of the Bible, this being our 20th in the Book of Acts, and we're into Chapter 3, which kind of tells you how slow we move along. But we're very deliberate, yet many times we might have a different topic or another theme, or say we talk about the apostles and how they broke bread, and we'll talk about breaking bread and the importance of fellowship and community or prayer and how that would manifest itself, or a practice that we can all have, or going through the Proverbs. I know one time when the importance of teaching, and we were saying, hey, why don't you every day of this month go through the book of Proverbs, because there's 31 chapters, which incidentally, with this being the 1st of November, and there's 30 days in November, today you could do, I guess you'd do Proverbs chapter 1, and then on the 30th you'd do chapter 30 and 31, but maybe start the reading of the book of Proverbs today throughout this whole month. It'll be a great practice, and I know God will bless you through that.
And don't leave off 31, because that's all about your wife. And
yeah. Hey, we're in the book of Acts chapter 3. Do you want to recap a little? But if not, how about opening our time in prayer and then launching into chapter 3?
I'm going to use my prayer time to recap real quick. So it says here, beginning in chapter 3, it says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. They're going up at 3 in the afternoon, which they're getting there in time of think about, there's massive crowds going into the temple. So they're coming at the time of the evening prayer. So getting there to be ready for that. I love that the Bible says one day, because this isn't one day. This is a special day. This is a day that God has set aside to do an amazing work where the apostolic ministry is going to be validated publicly. People are going to begin to see the miracles and things that God is doing in the midst through the apostles. This is going to be the miracles that are going to validate their ministry, that God is working in and amongst them. And they're coming up here, as we said, to the temple, and they're going through, we believe, to be historically the southern gate, because they're going to encounter a lame man. Now, this was as close as a lame man. Remember that anytime in kind of infirmity like this happens in the Bible, it's because usually some kind of sin issue is what they culturally would have thought. And so this is as close with that sin issue that this person could get to the temple. Southern Gate, also the most amount of traffic. If you're a beggar, you want to be where there's the most traffic. Not that I know that personally, but it seems like a good idea. Also, directly on the other side of the Southern Gate would have been the entrance into Solomon's porch, which we find out the covered colonnades is where they're going to be at. So this Southern Gate is probably the place most likely that they went through, though we don't know exactly which gate this could be. Now, One of the things that we really have to note about Acts as we begin to move forward, first of all, from here forward until we get about Acts chapter 10, everything that happens with the apostles, or a lot of what happens to the apostles, is still attached to the temple and the temple area. There's going to become, about Acts chapter 10, a gradual shift that's going to change geographically as Paul comes on the scene and Paul gets saved by Jesus. Paul begins to take this ministry to the world, to the Gentiles. But prior to that, everything is centered around the temple, and everything is still, though these are Christians, traditionally, socially, academically, they're still very Jewish. The things they do are still very Jewish. They still go to the temples. They preach Christ, but they go for the time of prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, "Do not think I came to abolish the teaching of the Torah, but to fulfill it." So they didn't see that they had to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Instead, they retained some of their Jewishness as they were following now Jesus. And what we see as we come into this also is a different kind of Peter. We now see Peter, prior to this in chapter 2, we saw Peter the preacher. Remember, the first time we really get to see Peter, he stands up and he stands for something and he doesn't fall for anything. Well, now there's this maturation process where we've seen Peter the preacher to the public, and now we also get to see a very personal and intimate Peter who's going to do something. He's going to touch one man intimately. What's fascinating is in Acts chapter 2, Peter the preacher, multitudes of people come to faith. Here, Peter very personally and intimately brings one man to faith. So I almost think that if we were to pull back from the Bible, what a great story there is about that the multitudes can come to faith, but yet still there is the importance of one man coming to faith. Remember, in God's economy, we would leave the 99 and go look for the one. Look, if any of the rest of us got a 99 on a test, we'd be like, woohoo! God would be like, eh, but I lost that 1%. You know, in God's economy, it's 100% or nothing. God cares about every single person. Remember, he knows how many hair you have on your head. And for me and Mark, we're still doing well, so that's a lot of counting to do. I know some people who I'm like, that's no work at all.
Hey, that reminds me, on Monday and Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends, we had special guests Rodney and Melinda Heinrichs. And Melinda one time had a message. She felt God put it on her heart, and it was to tell these people, these were impoverished people, I think it was in Africa or India, that God knew them by name. And it was a transformational message because they were like, what? And she said, the sovereign, almighty, powerful God of the universe knows you by name. And it's like a message that sometimes we forget that God is that personal and that he knows us by name. And like you said, he knows the hairs on our head. He knows everything about us. There's nothing that we can keep from him. And he knows about our future, our past. He knows everything about us, and he's still drawn us to himself. So, yeah, it's a powerful message. He knows us by
name. It's just amazing. And so, again, I mean, we see Peter the preacher, multitudes of people coming to faith. We see here one man coming to faith. In Acts chapter 2, we see a blessing, 3,000 people coming to faith. Here we're going to see persecution. We're going to see the beginnings of persecution in the church. We're going to begin to see the beginnings in the book of Acts where it becomes hard to follow Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we can follow you. We thank you that we can come near you and that we can walk behind you. And Lord, some of us are doing that in seasons that are incredibly difficult. Some of us are near the gate we call beautiful, and yet things don't feel so beautiful right now. And we feel like this person who's lame in some way and can't seem to get up, and instead we're just begging, just help me, just help me. And yet the Lord comes here and he provides in such a miraculous way. And Lord, never let us forget that you can provide for each one of us in a miraculous way. That when we turn our eyes towards you, when we look at you, when we meet you, when we remember you, when we're reminded of your goodness and your greatness, that the miraculous happens. And so, Lord, we just I pray right now for all my brothers and sisters out there. I pray for that specific listener who's hearing me right now, who is limping when they ought to be leaping. And Lord, I ask that you would just work the miraculous in their life right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
And so Peter and John, they come up to this man, and it's an amazing moment. It says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. You know, this man asked what anybody in that position would ask for, a handout. He's got his hand out. He's asking, can you help me? will you help me? And Peter's answer isn't to dig in his wallet. It isn't to pull out and give him some money. It isn't to say, nah, you know, I just don't want to do that. It isn't like sometimes when we go to the big city and we see those homeless people and we kind of try and look the other way like, oh my gosh, did you see that building? We try and do that. And let's just be honest. Let's all be honest that sometimes we do that because we're so uncomfortable with the notion of people's needs. We don't want to be convicted with their needs where we ought to be convicted with their needs. And Peter says to the man, he says, look at us. You know, it says in John chapter 4 and verse 12, no one has seen God, but if we love one another, God dwells in us. You know, I think that when Peter says, look at us, he's saying, look at John and I. Because when you look at John and I, you're going to see God. You're going to see God because we love Jesus and Jesus loves us and Jesus wants to love you too. Look at us and you're going to see. You know, ancient texts that we read, both Jewish and Roman, noted the way that the Christians acted and reacted. This is why they were called the followers of the way. Look, a lot of us like to take it from John 14, on the way, the truth, and the life. That was one reason why they called themselves the followers of the way. But the other was because those people on the outside, the Jews and the Romans, the way they lived modeled this gospel that they preached. I mean, they didn't just actually preach the gospel. They lived the gospel. Now, I don't want us to get that mixed up because some of us get that mixed up wrongly attributed to Francis of Assisi. We think preach the gospel and sometimes use words. By the way, I said wrongly. Francis of Assisi didn't say that. Historically, we know that he didn't say that. Now, the problem is that we want to come in and we want to share the gospel. We want to come with clothing and we want to come with a shelter and we want to come with a bowl of soup or some food and we want to help people, but we think that we don't have to use words. And the scriptures, the New Testament, doesn't know a silent servant. It doesn't know somebody who arrives with the gospel living but doesn't arrive with the gospel telling. I read multiple places in the Bible it says, you hear and therefore you have believed. Now, if you hear, that means somebody must have what? Spoken to you. So you have to use words. I think that we should serve people and love people. I think we should bring them clothes and I think we should bring them shelter and I think we should embrace our brothers and sisters and help them and lift them up and provide for them in practical ways. But I think that if we get so wrapped up in providing for them in practical ways and we forget the eternal need that they have, you know what? I'm just going to be honest and I'm going to be real blunt right here. If I bring somebody a cup of soup and momentarily I help them, but I damn them to hell because I did not share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, then I don't know that things go well for me. I'm just being really honest with you. I don't know that that's really what I ought to have done. I think I should have brought them that cup of soup, wrapped my arm around them and said, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about something where you're going to have sustenance and nourishment eternally, where you're going to be saved and led eternally.
Well, that's that tension when many people start proclaiming, oh, it's all about lifestyle evangelism. And, you know, we can fault on doing all this lifestyle and modeling Christ without ever speaking about him. And really, it's an element that has to be, you're saying, you're exhorting everyone, you got to bring it up. You got to verbalize it.
Well, it's really funny. I was telling somebody this past week about that. I was just saying, you know, I really just really feel a lot of, like you're saying, a lot of tension in this, in how we share the gospel. I think we have a gospel problem. I really do think we have a gospel problem. We don't share the gospel enough. We think we can just kind of live the gospel, like you're saying. And a friend of mine, he goes, well, Jason, you know, I mean, it's social justice. He goes, you know, Jesus would want the poor to be clothed. He would want this. He would want that. I mean, Jesus didn't in every instance share the gospel. Well, Jesus was a living embodiment of the gospel. First, let's be honest about that. Number two, I said, I get social justice. The gospel is social. I'm supposed to be in and amongst people sharing it. And it is justice because it justifies us in Christ. So I get your social justice. The problem is that, look at, Romans says, and I'm going to be sparse on where it is that it says this. It says this in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians says this. It says, if you have believed, you have spoken. In your belief, you will speak. The Bible tells us that if you believe, you'll speak. The Bible's very clear. It says, it doesn't say, if you believe, you'll begin to bring soup to people. No, it says, you'll speak. And that was why these Christians here in Acts were called the Way, because they lived it and they preached it. There was visible and verbal manifestations of the Holy Spirit everywhere that they went. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, every single place that they went. You know, the Bible calls us and tells us to be witnesses. I think when we marginalize the Holy Spirit, I think that when we don't think about the power and prominence of the Holy Spirit in our life, we become marginal witnesses. You know, we show up, and I've had many people say, geez, I'm just not comfortable sharing the gospel. I just don't know how to share the gospel. I go, you're not the one who's supposed to be sharing it. Mm-hmm. It's the Holy Spirit. If you ask the Holy Spirit, I have never, this is a practice that I do. Whenever I go somewhere, I forget sometimes, but I shoot in 75%. 75% of the times I go places, I say before I get out of the car, like I'll go to a store and I'll say, Lord, if there's anybody in here you want me to speak to or share with, Lord, just put them in my path and give me the words to say to them. 75% of the time I do that, I would tell you 100% of the time it happens. I'll get pulled off to the side. Somebody will say, hey, oh, Jason. Or somebody will say, oh, man, you know, I was just thinking. It always happens. And every single time, I don't know what the heck to say because I didn't plan on having to say anything. I went in there simply to get a gallon of milk and a dozen eggs, and I was hoping to have it be 3.5 minutes in and out and be done, and I'm there for an hour. My wife will attribute to this. She sends me out to go places, and I come back an hour later, and she goes, what happened? I go, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I go, oh. She goes, did you pray before you went in? I go, yeah. She goes,
No wonder.
Yeah. I go, you don't want me to pray? She goes, no, you have to pray. Don't not do that. But, I mean, again, it's just this the tension of it. But I think that we don't lean into the Holy Spirit because he'll give the words. Look at what does the Bible say that God will bring you to a place that he has prepared for you? So when you go into a thing and you go, oh, my gosh, I think I'm going to have to share the gospel here. God has prepared that place for you. And if you simply listen to him and allow him to give you the words, Peter and John, I don't think they got to the temple there ready to say something. They got there and the Holy Spirit moved in them. By the way, I want to point something out to you, too, that this is the time of the evening prayers. There are thousands of people going to the temple right now. Thousands of people, tons of people streaming into the southern gates. Think about right before the, you know, a big Illini game, the Illini in Michigan. All the people coming in at that, you know, noon for that 1 o'clock game or whatever. All these people coming in. Do you think that apart from the Holy Spirit, you would see one beggar? But it says here that Peter and John saw him. It says, in fact, he saw them and they saw him and then they said, look at us. And so I think that it's God. You know, there are 60 references to the Spirit in Acts and 40 references to the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And if we look at the manifestation of the Spirit in the work of the believers, we find far more mentions. There are hundreds upon hundreds of mentions of the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, more than we can even count. And so you have all these people around at the time of prayer. And how did they know about this guy? Because the Holy Spirit picked him out. The Holy Spirit. I mean, have you ever gone into a room and there's just one person who stands out to you? And you go over and you talk to that person? And maybe it's somebody you don't even know. You know, I think that's because the Holy Spirit somehow connected you. And so Peter says, look at us. But I think the Holy Spirit is saying, look at him also. And I love that this guy's got his hand out and he wants some money. And Peter says to him, what does he say? What a great line. He says, gold and silver I do not have. Gold and silver I do not have. You know what Peter's really saying here? I want to just tell you my own interpretation of what he's saying. I think he's saying, gold and silver I don't need. Because I want you to understand, right before this in chapter 2, it says that there's 3,120 believers, and they have all kinds of stuff, and they sell it as needed to raise money and raise funds. There was money within this community here. There was some money. They weren't starving. There was something. He did have some, probably some gold and some silver. But Peter and John weren't attached to their gold and silver. It didn't define who they were. It wasn't their thing. It wasn't their little g God. And so I think what Peter's saying to him is gold and silver I don't need and you don't need. But what Peter does want to offer this person is the dunamis, the power, the explosive power of the Holy Spirit through the name of Christ. And he says to him, he says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I love that it says that because you know what? Nothing good comes from Nazareth except for the greatest person who ever lived. Get up and walk. He tells him, in the name of Jesus, walk. And it's just fascinating. That this guy then, what does it say that he does? It said, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. The moment he's healed, Look, he doesn't get up and go like, do you have some crutches? Do you have a cane? I got to get used to this. I got to figure this out. I've got to understand what this means. It says he jumped to his feet. Have you ever met with Jesus and you jumped? Have you ever met with Jesus and you leaped to your feet? Because maybe that's what you need to do, right? I've been in plenty of seasons where I've been looking for a handout because I've been struggling and frustrated and not sure which way to go. And Jesus has met me, and I have not just gotten to my feet, I have leaped to my feet. And that's because Jesus meets us in an altogether different way. And during that time, I've had people bring me things, and people try and help me, and people try and offer advice. And it's been well, and it's been fine, and I sure have appreciated it. But I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus speaks out of the storm, it's an altogether different moment. You leap to your feet.
And I love how it closes out this verse 8, walking and jumping and praising God, and the essence of connecting it all back to God, giving him the thanks, the glory, the praise, the worship, the honor, because that's what he deserves, and rightly so, that's what he's earned by redeeming all of us. And I'm thinking of one other thing. I know we're out of time, but we talked about it on Wednesday, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that oftentimes we don't share, we don't verbalize our faith. And I kind of want to encourage the listener today, you know, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to talk about them today. You need to witness to somebody today with words. You need to reaffirm your testimony, how he came into your life. You need to share that with someone, because if you're not, it's probably because it's all about you, because you don't want to feel rejected. You don't want to be inconvenienced. I'm busy. I don't have a chance to do it. Yes, you do. Make the point to stop and to talk to somebody today about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But as Jason has practiced and shared, pray before you get out of the car. Pray before you make that phone call. Pray before you go to the neighbor's house. Say, Lord, order my steps today. Allow there to be that divine appointment. Because really, any appointment's a divine appointment. He wants you to share your faith and love for Jesus. And if you're someone that hasn't begun that faith journey with the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing him as Savior and Lord, then let me give you an 800 number. It's 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. These are trained counselors that would love to talk to you about having a relationship with Almighty God. And it's a living, active relationship. And when that Holy Spirit enters into your life because you accept Jesus into your heart, everything looks different. The scriptures come alive, and you'll have this transformational work beginning in your life throughout all eternity. God loves you, friend, and he has a plan and purpose for your life.
Yeah, Colossians says that when you appear with him, he appears with you in glory. And so don't we all just need that upon our life today?
Amen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.